prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. Brooks Kubik is off the air today. Our prayers go out to him. His dad is not doing good. And so this is an episode of Physical Culture Radio in his absence. And hence, we are not playing his theme music. And hopefully, he'll be back on the air next week with us. But we have a really exciting show for you today. During the first hour of Physical Culture Radio, we're going to address something that occurred on Facebook after my interview the other day with Mike O'Hearn. We're not going to talk about Mike O'Hearn. We're talking about the fact that today, being an athlete, especially being a genetically gifted athlete, brings people out of the woodwork who immediately discount hard work, effort, and determination, and say drugs are being used. And we're going to talk about the history of drugs during the first half hour with Anthony Roberts. I'm in the studio with an athlete who's actually experienced this. He's been on the show before, and he's Dan Matha. How you doing, Dan?
Hey, I'm doing great.
And, of course, Anthony Roberts is on the line with us. How you doing, Anthony?
Great, great.
And then later in the show, we're going to be joined by Bill Hinburn, who is a fond physical culturist who has followed the game for decades, and we're going to get his opinion about some opinions about some questions I'm going to have. Just want to make sure that we give recognition to All American Pharmaceutical for being the title sponsor of Superhuman Radio. You can go to superhumanradio.com to learn more about them. So, Anthony, you've never met Dan Matha. I'm sorry. And Dan played for the Cincinnati Bengals. He's been an athlete since he was a young man. He wrestled, and he is a genetically gifted human being. How tall are you?
6'7".
Okay. What was your top weight when you were playing football?
325.
Okay. And I happen to know, I can tell you, I would guarantee everything that I own, everything that I can earn, that Dan has never used drugs. He's still asking questions about things like creatine. I've talked to him about things that I know that he can't affront. That he happens to be a genetically gifted human being. As an athlete, how many times, and get close to that mic, how many times have you heard behind your back or in your face that you're using drugs?
Oh, man. Well, it's funny you said that. It is always behind my back. But
right.
I've been getting accused since I was in high school. I mean, you know, 15, 16 years old, I come in into the weight room, you know, lifting with all, you know, juniors and seniors, and I'm lifting the same weights they are. And automatically people are accusing me of taking, you know, I mean, I'm 15 years old. I'm, you know,
right.
I barely know how to eat right, let alone, you know, take any supplements.
Right, right. Okay. So we have Anthony Roberts here because no one knows more about anabolic steroids and the history of anabolic steroids than Anthony. Anthony authored one of the definitive seminal works, Anabolic Steroids, The Ultimate Research Guide, years ago. So, Anthony, when did anabolic steroids come on the scene for sports enhancement and performance enhancement, would you say?
The Soviets were using them, you know, probably as early as the late 40s, maybe the mid 40s. I mean, details are kind of sketchy about the exact time because we had, you know, very bad relations with them.
Right. Yeah, they weren't going to share any secrets with us. Let's put it that way.
Well, funny you say that, right? Because the old, like the Irish bull is that at the weightlifting world championships, right? Dr. John Ziegler, who was there with York Barbell and the USA weightlifting team, him and the Russian doctor got to, you know, drinking some vodka. And that's when the Russian, you know, sports doctor said, hey, we've been injecting testosterone. So that's generally seen as the most, and I don't know how true that story is, but that's the story.
I had a long conversation with Randy Roach this morning in anticipation of this, and that concurs with some of the things that he said. And methyl testosterone, he said, was around in the 40s. It was around in the 40s, and I'm going to share some more stories about that when we have Bill Hinburn on, but you're right on the mark. So, this is when it comes on the scenes. But let's really hearken back for a second.
Let's hearken.
When in the history of human performance have athletes not been looking for some edge, some way to give them advantage over their competitors?
Well, right, so it's funny you say that. Since there have been athletes, trying to get an advantage over their competitors, I mean, since day one. And it's funny because if you look at the ancient Olympics, like the original Olympics, athletes were eating bull testicles and sort of doing all this crazy stuff because it's always been known, right, that the testicles and something's going on there, that's what makes you bigger and stronger. It's always been known. So athletes have been trying to exploit that since then. And if you fast forward all the way to 1889, and the guy's name was Brown Sicard, he was the guy that took, bull testicle extract or whatever, dog testicle extract, whatever it was that he did, and consumed it and reported all these great sort of libidinous effects and rejuvenation effects. Now, what makes that really interesting is that when you take his method, right, from his lab notebooks, if you were to actually do this, the resulting amount of testosterone and the method of administration would be like 4 or 5 orders of magnitude too low to get a physiological effect.
Really?
So that whole thing was based on a placebo effect. We had one of our greatest advancements in endocrinology based on a placebo effect from one doctor.
That's amazing. That is amazing. Now,
yeah.
You talked about Ziegler for a second ago, Dr. Ziegler. It was told to me once that Dianabol, which was introduced as a uncontrolled drug,
yep,
that was promoted in gymnasiums, the flyers that what was the name of the company that came out with it again?
Ciba Geigy.
When Ciba came out with it, they made flyers. They put them in gyms that this would make you stronger, recover faster, and so on. And they targeted the athletes because they knew that this drug really worked, right?
Oh, yeah. Ziegler was the guy who went in. Funny enough, Ziegler's grandson, Sandy, works for the FDA in Dallas, Dr. John Ziegler's grandson.
Wow.
In their, trying to prevent people from taking steroids at the FDA office.
That's kind of funny.
But the whole thing with that is he said, this is an inelegant solution, testosterone. And he said, methyl testosterone is also inelegant. And so he took, he said, what can we do? Why don't we try and lower the amount of estrogen that's created? They added a 4-5 bond. So there's a double bond at the 4-5 carbon position. And they ended up with something that should have aromatized less than testosterone.
Wow. And
it was made for athletes.
And they made it. And I want to get that point across. They made it for athletes, and it was not frowned upon, and it was used specifically for athletes. Now, we have to take a break, but I want to tell you something that Randy Roach told me this morning. And as far as Randy Roach's, there are very few people who have gotten it right about the history of physical culture, especially bodybuilding. He said that the coveted Steve Reeves used a cycle of D-Bol when he was getting ready to make a movie because he had injured his shoulder and he had to recover quicker. And so those out there who are aghast at the idea that these guys were using these drugs, don't be so shocked. And we're gonna have Bill Hinburn on later in the show to talk about a lot of the guys that those of you out there who worship may have been exposed to these drugs and you didn't know it. And the real message of this show is this. There is amazing human genetics in our midst right now. Athletes are not given credit for the hard work, the dedication that they apply to become the level of athletes that they are today, immediately dismissed as using drugs by those out there who either have lesser genetics or lesser drive in an effort to make themselves feel better about what they have not achieved in their lives. It's not all about drugs, folks. Even the guys and gals that are using drugs still have to put in the hard work, the good sleep, and the diet to squeeze something out of them. I'm tired of this. I'm tired of every time an athlete comes forth and people see they want to hate, and the first thing they use to hate is, oh, they're using performance-enhancing drugs. Stop it. Focus on yourself. Get into the gym. Clean up your own diet and see what you can do with your genetics before you start bashing somebody else. Stay tuned.
Freakish muscle gains, freak maker build from AAEFX. It's a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines frodolin, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, prealkaline and medium chain triglycerides, a 2-to-1 carb to protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freak maker build delivers 58 grams of fast absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of prealkaline pH buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freak Maker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at liveonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at Bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workouts the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to SuperhumanRadio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to BrooksCubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer e-books, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to BrooksCubic.com right now.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is a special edition of Physical Culture Radio. And the discussion is, I wouldn't want to be an athlete today because everything they do is discounted by the haters out there, the people who either don't have the genetics or the willpower to push themselves by saying it's all drugs. So we've got Anthony Roberts on with us right now. Later in the show, Bill Hinburn's going to join us. We're going to talk about some of the old-time bodybuilders that probably would have been accused of using drugs today. But let me ask you a question first, Dan. Were you ever approached to use anabolic steroids or any kind of performance-enhancing drugs?
Yeah. The first time I probably was approached was my freshman year at college.
What was the angle? Why did they say?
Well, I had just had bilateral shoulder surgery, so I just had to have both my labrums repaired. And some of the older guys on the team had been using growth hormones. So one of the older linemen came to me and kind of approached me with it and was talking about it and saying how he was using it and, you know, kind of going about the method of going it. And at first, you know, in my head, I'm kind of like, you know, it's by any means necessary, especially in that atmosphere. Like if you're, when you're injured, it's just like nobody cares. You do not exist to the
right.
team, you know,
right.
like you're just a ghost until you're healthy enough to start, you know, adding, contributing to
right.
the team. So at first it's like, oh, you know, this is going to help me heal. And, you know, I'm thinking about it and, you know, it's really something that I took a lot of time to think about. But every time I just like, it's just this burning itch in the back of my head where my, it just has to be my ego. Ego's coming in and saying, you can do this. You could, you don't need that. You know, one, I don't know enough about it to just start injecting something into my body. And at the time, I probably didn't have the drive to start learning as much as I needed to about something. And two, it was just like, I've been able at that point, like I wanted to bench 405 pounds my senior year of high school and max out. I did it because I put my mind to it. Anything that I ever, you know, I wanted to, you know, hang clean, whatever it was, any type of weight that I wanted to lift up to that point, I put my mind to. And I just, it was the same thing there. It was like, I don't need help in that aspect. So for me, it was like, I have the genetics and I have the discipline to bounce back. So that's always kind of been my thought process when it's come to any type of supplement.
Anthony, you and I have had this discussion in the past. So athletes will use any method possible to be better at their chosen sports discipline. They will undergo surgeries that reroute tendons and ligaments. They will get radial keratotomy in the case of Tiger Woods. What is it about as soon as they, I mean, they can take capsule form supplements, no problem. But what is it about as soon as they stick a needle in their hip or take a anabolic steroid that somehow they've crossed the line? What is it? What is it psychologically?
Yeah, I think the needle thing, I think, is just, you know, heroin, you know, is seen as like the worst sort of, you know, terrible, terrible drug. And I think people have this weird association, like that's cause, you know, that's a commitment, you know, if you start doing heroin and needles and, you know, spoons. Like, I think people think, like, the average person doesn't know that steroid users aren't frying it on a spoon.
Right.
Like, the average person doesn't know that. Like, the lack of information that the, you know, an average person would have, like, that's literally what they think. They literally think you're tying off your arm and popping it in the vein. So I think that's, like, a weird stigma. And you see it still, right? You see, if you go to probably, you know, the DEA or the FDA's website, you'll see, you know, transmission of disease being one of the possible side effects of steroids. Steroid users don't share needles.
Right.
That's how right. it happens. Like, that's, I've never heard of such a thing. Steroid users buy a box of 100 at a time and have 50 left over for the next cycle.
Right.
I think that's it. I think it's just a stigma with, you know, your classic street drugs.
You don't think it's the Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde? You don't think that, so people who don't understand how performance enhancing drugs work, they have no clue that they think that you take a drug and you're immediately stronger. And I think what happens in their mind is this Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde thing where you take a drug and you become this villainous, murdering brute. They don't understand that the drugs don't work like that, right?
There have been some guys that, you know, made a bad show of it. But like, if you look at like the Lance Armstrong, right? All this stuff came out that he was like a horrible person. And if you look at a guy like Barry Bonds, I mean, he's pretty, you know, indisputably a horrible person. I don't think that really has anything to do with taking drugs or not taking them. And I also think it's very odd that people put these two sort of mutually exclusive clauses out there, like you either do drugs or you work hard, which is not the case. Lance Armstrong did drugs and would have outworked, right, anyone.
Right.
But you take a guy, right, like, is he somehow, after beating cancer and winning 7 Tour de France titles, is he somehow less noble than a guy like Bo Jackson, who is a natural two-sport athlete who barely trained, who admitted that he went in the weight room just so the coaches saw his face?
It's funny you mentioned Bo Jackson, because during the commercial break, Dan said to me, if Bo Jackson had come along 10 years later, everybody would have said he was using, and he would have gotten less respect.
For sure. Oh, yeah. Bo Jackson's the perfect example. He only had, like, a couple-year career in the NFL. But why is that? Like, what did he do that these genetic gifts somehow make him more noble than a guy like Lance Armstrong, or like a guy, you know, Jason Giambi, to use someone who isn't like a loathsome prick?
But how do we know that Bo Jackson didn't use? Clearly, these anabolic steroids were around at that point in time. Granted, they were not in the forefront in everybody's face in everybody's living room. But we know. I mean, I was talking to Randy Roach. He said a lot of the bodybuilders and physical cultures back in the 40s were using methyl testosterone.
Well, I don't think they tested in the NFL. When was Bo Jackson around? What year?
Remember?
The 80s, right?
Yeah, it would have been like late 80s, early 90s.
Yeah.
So I don't think they had implemented like a program where they were testing. I think it had just started right around when Bo probably ended his career. But, you know, I'm pretty sure they wasn't as robust of a test as they would have now, where they would surely test someone. But you chart someone, right? Like, if you're saying you benched like 405 in high school. If you chart someone from the time they're 13, you see this guy has been on all the all-star teams. He's, you know, 6 foot tall at 14. And you chart someone. And then you see a huge spike when they hit the age of 38. That's a good indicator of steroid use, right?
Right, right, right.
But if you chart someone and it's a relatively steady climb, I think that's a good indicator that the person's not using. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
Granted, if that steady climb goes into their 60s, you know.
Yeah, well, obviously, but then that's HRT. But anyway.
But you know what I'm saying?
Like, yeah.
If you start looking back and say, like, man, this kid made every all-star team, like, since he was 5. He's the big, you know, he was the big kid, you know, the anchor of the linemen until he got to high school. You can chart those things. It's not the guy that comes out of nowhere and becomes a stud. That's to me, suspicious.
Okay, in just a couple minutes, someone on Facebook said that one of the reasons he likes to talk, read about the old-time physical culturists is because there were no drugs back then. They couldn't have been using drugs. And he's naming guys in the 40s, which clearly he's wrong about. They were just genetically gifted, no hormone precursors. In your opinion, as an authority on anabolic steroid use, the guy that even ESPN goes to and magazines go to when it comes to anabolic steroid use, has there been a time in physical athletic competition where we have not leveraged some way of getting hormones, whether it be bull's testicles or plants that have phytoandrogens? Has there ever been a time where we have not leveraged hormones?
Carl, I'm going to tell you, since the first man lost the first thumb wrestling match, he was trying to figure out a way that he could leverage that. And it's not just, you know, it's not just sports. I mean, I'm sure when the first guy lost the game of Chinese checkers in, you know, the whatever dynasty, they were, right, eating certain kinds of teas and drinking certain kinds of teas to get that nootropic advantage, the physical advantage, nootropic advantage, any advantage we could get to beat someone else at something. There are guys in beer league softball right now taking anabolic steroids to hit more home runs.
Dan is shaking his head and laughing.
I knew. No, you want to see how crazy people are? I knew these guys when I lived in Pittsburgh that would train for, there was a water park. They would take steroids for for the water park season, so they could go around jacked and hit on 17-year-old girls.
Right.
Oh, yeah, Jersey Shore. I mean, those guys don't play sports.
That's Jersey
Shore.
They're
going there to take their shirt off on the boardwalk.
Yeah, yeah. And so my question is, if you can live with better technology, training technologies, better diet technology, better supplement technology, all of these radical things like rerouting ligaments and tendons so a guy can pitch faster or see better, then why do you draw the line on pills that increase your ability to recover faster? That's my frustration.
And why is it just this particular type of pills? Because you can take other pills, right, that as long as it's not a steroid or whatever, then you could take other types of pills that increase whatever.
Right.
You know?
So that's it. It's time to stop this whining. If you're one of these people who whines about athletes today, you immediately go to, oh, he's using drugs, shame on you. And if you're hearkening back to the days of yesteryear as those guys being the ones that were clean, I got news for you. It's not true.
There was a dude in 1905, right? Thomas Hicks ran the marathon. There's a famous picture of him, right? Because he collapses at the end. He was taking strychnine because it's a stimulant in low doses, right? Those pills make the poison and all that.
Right.
I want to say he was taking strychnine, brandy, and cocaine. And for some reason, he was carrying a piece of cork in one hand because at that time, he believed you flexed your hand, you could run faster.
There you go.
So this guy was doing every advantage you could get. Everything. Every chemical advantage that the technology of the time allowed.
Interesting.
And there's no reason that we would think guys chewing cocoa leaves in the woods racing each other for the, you know,
is somehow more noble.
Championships wouldn't be doing it.
Right.
Of course they were.
Anthony, plug your, how can people follow you, Anthony?
Yeah, check me out on Twitter. It's just Anthony Roberts is my, my at.
There you go. Anthony, thanks for being on the show today at such short notice.
Thanks for having me.
All right, talk to you. All right, we're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be joined by Bill Hinburn, who is a follower of physical culture for decades and can speak more intelligently about the strong men of yesteryear. And I've got questions for him as well. Stay tuned. This is Physical Culture Radio in the absence of Brooks Cubic today. Our prayers go to him and his family. His dad is not doing well. We hope for the best possible outcome there. We'll be right back.
Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freakmaker Build from AAEFX is a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Frodolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, prealkaline and medium-chain triglycerides, a 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freakmaker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of prealkaline pH buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freakmaker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
Do you have a federal student loan? Did you know that the federal government has allotted millions of dollars to reduce or forgive your student loan debt? Are you getting your share of these federal forgiveness program dollars? If you answer no, then you need to call 866-539-2755 right now. FedAidAdvisors.com will qualify you right over the phone for free. One free phone call and FedAidAdvisors.com guarantees to reduce your payments, eliminate interest for the first 3 years, and even wipe your loan debt clean for those who qualify. The call is free to find out if you qualify. Call 866-539-2755 right now. That's 866-539-2755. 539-2755.
New from the makers of MassPro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training. Won't disrupt endocrine function and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal
hormonal anabolics, Progenidrax.
The 1-2 punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel, but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's livonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freak Maker Build from AAEFX is a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Protolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, prealkaline, and medium-chain triglycerides. A 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freak Maker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores, and 1.5 grams of Cre-alkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freak Maker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad. For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing, and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. This is Physical Culture Radio. In the absence of Brooks Cubic today, and we're talking about anabolic steroid use in athletes, really, more than anything else, because today, athletes with fantastic genetic gifts are discounted and immediately aspersion cast upon them that they're using drugs. And it's time to stop. And you said something during the break, Dan. As an athlete today, you feel like what?
You're guilty until proven innocent. And it's just a terrible way. It's a terrible road that we're going down with athletes, because you're just automatically accused of cheating, quote unquote cheating. When in reality, we accept PED, we accept performance enhancing products, like we said, not drugs, but think about this: training programs, facilities, diets, apparel, all of those things give you an edge that people don't have, that not everyone has. Think about this: you're an inner city school playing against a Catholic school or an upper class school that has the ability to fundraise more money. They have a weight room, they have a full facility, those kids are able to train and have nutritional advice that the inner city kids don't have.
Right.
I mean, think about the advantage that is, more so than even a drug could
be. Well, look at how they make baseball gloves today, how they make baseball bats today.
Yeah.
Look, everything has changed. Even
the
therapeutic.
Aluminum bat.
When you're injured, you have a tub to get into, a Whirlpool tub. They have electronic device. Nothing is fair anymore, folks. It's all about who has the most resources to apply the best technology to produce the best athletic performance. And trying to say, but this is where we draw the line, is idiocy. And in fact, it's really been something that's become a witch hunt promoted by politicians who don't want you to pay attention to what's really going on in the country.
Yeah.
So they bring a couple athletes up in front of a jury and they say, hey, you know, these guys are using performance enhancing drugs. Okay. We're joined by Bill Hinburn. Over 40 years in the physical culture game, his website is superstrengthtraining.com. One of the most respected people out there. I talked to Randy Roach about him this morning. He said the guy is a class act. Brooks Cubic talks highly about him. How you doing, Bill?
Not bad, Carl.
Okay. So, Bill, if we had John Grimmick today, Or better yet, Bruce Randall. Wouldn't we be saying, oh, yeah, this guy's using drugs. He couldn't look like that or be that strong without drugs.
I knew John Grimmick. I had also met Bruce Randall at one time back in the late 60s. Here's the thing. Grimmick would not pull any punches, okay? And it's a coincidence that you bring up his name because he was involved. He was right in the thick of things back when Dr. John Ziegler worked with Zeba Pharmaceuticals and came up with a an oral steroid called Dianabol. Now, the whole thing was, in the beginning, it was not a controlled substance like it is today. It was used, it was viewed by many of the lifters as just another vitamin.
Right.
And even Grimmick took it. And of course, Ziegler, said 5 milligrams. But you have to understand that when Grimmick took it, he was retired. He was in his 40s. He was retired from bodybuilding completely and any form of lifting. Certainly he still worked for York. I think you get the idea, but
yeah.
It was passed out to various people, Bill March, Lou Reiki, Tony Garcia, guys like that. But it was not controlled. There was no neutral control group where you were given sugar pills or anything like that. Now, John Grimmick personally told me that he noticed no appreciable difference.
And I read the same thing in Randy Roach's first volume of Muscle Smoke and Mirrors. Right, right.
Yes, and that tells you, volumes, no pun intended.
Right.
But the thing is, he personally did not notice that. But consider this now, he was retired. He did his last, John Grimmick did his last posing exhibition in Madison Square Garden, 1958.
Mm-hmm.
And all this came about prior to that. But what I'm driving at is, just because the doctor, with good intentions at the time, said 5 milligrams, it didn't mean that these guys weren't, had the mindset, the old, if a little bit's good, more has got to be better.
Sure.
And we're going up to 10 milligrams and 15 and what have you. It got to the point when it transferred over, and I don't want to get ahead of myself here, into, for example, pro football.
Please do,
please. Where there was practical application. You had one of the first, Alvin Roy was one of the first NFL coaches. They had bowls of these pills
right
sitting on the training tables. It was, and I emphasize this again, Carl, it was not a controlled substance.
Right.
It simply wasn't. You took it at random. Now, is this a powerful pharmaceutical? Oh, absolutely. So that's something you have to keep in mind. Now, yes, I've heard all of the accusations constantly. They throw it in my face. Eugene Sandow back before 1900. Bull testicles. I believe you mentioned in the last segment. Okay. Fine. Let's presume that that's true. Okay. Then you had a strong man by the name of Hermann Görner.
Yeah.
From Germany. Enormous deadlifter. He had grip strength beyond belief. He was a circus performer and a stage lifter. Now, are we to say that he did not have super genetics? Well, certainly he did. Louis Cyr was another one, the French Canadian the strong man. Apollon, the French strong man. But these men were huge, huge bone structure. They could carry a great deal of muscle. They had the muscle attachments. John Grimmick was 5'8", but if you looked at him, and I met him several times, and I sat in a basement with one of the gold medalists from 1932 Olympics, Dick Bechtel, sat in his basement, and we sat there for hours discussing various things. He was just like a next door neighbor, and he was very honest. I did not bring up the steroids at the time; I just simply didn't think of it. But I did notice that he had very large wrists, bone, huge wrists. They had to be 8-inch wrists. He was 5'8", okay? And even when he competed, he was around 200 pounds. So, you have to understand the time back in the 50s. It was a simpler time, and people had the attitude that this was not a powerful pharmaceutical.
No, and I get all that, and I really do understand it because like you, I've read both Volume 1 and Volume 2 of Muscle, Smoke, and Mirrors, and Randy Roach does an amazing job of getting a lot of that stuff right.
God.
But yep. my point is this. Why have I'm raised Catholic, okay? Mm-hmm. And for some reason, all the saints and all the miracles happened back in the day. Nothing happens today. So why is it that we look back at these guys, rightfully so? The fathers of physical culture were amazing individuals. They paved the way for the right way to live. I don't want to lose that message. But why do we look at them and hearken back to a time when, quote unquote, it was all about genetics, the right foods, and so on? And then today's athlete, we look at them and we say drugs. First thing we go to is drugs. Why is that, Bill?
Well, you have to understand, you can't compare oranges to apples. That was a much different era. You know, air conditioning, you could do an entire segment on this as far as nutrition goes, okay? You didn't have transportation. You didn't have the superhighways, okay? You didn't have refrigeration. People went to the markets in the cities like New York and what have you. They went to the market nearly every day because you didn't have the refrigeration. You didn't have the preservation, okay? Rural farming, okay? You didn't go to the store and buy a dozen eggs. Come on, you went out and got the chickens in the morning. That's right. What you did.
I did it with my grandfather.
Well, yeah. Certainly, okay? And when you're talking about an era back then, you had, as far as health, you had the great Bernard McFadden. He published a magazine, okay? And he talked about the dangers of, for example, smoking. And he talked about, wholesome food and what have you. He was considered a crackpot at the time, okay? But you didn't have as many people training, and you didn't have as many people in professional sports. Understand something. In Babe Ruth's day, Babe Ruth was considered the babe. He was the man, okay? Now, you spoke earlier about, certain things that they did breaking home run records for, Sammy Sosa and Mark McGwire, okay?
Right.
Understand something here. The couple years prior to that, I forget what season it was, I want to say 94, 95, there was a devastating baseball strike that arguably Major League Baseball has not
never
fully
recovered
from.
Right, they've never recovered from. That's true.
Okay. Now, so suddenly, out of nowhere, you have two guys in Major League Baseball in 1998, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, not only broke the standing home run record of Roger Maris since the days of Babe Ruth, 61 home runs, that's what Roger Maris did. 1998, McGwire hit his 62nd, okay?
Right.
And then, Sammy Sosa wasn't too far after that. Now, I remember watching on television, I remember that, it must be something to do with the ball, so we're going to go to, I think it was Puerto Rico, that there's a company there that makes
the baseball.
The baseball.
Right.
Okay, for the American and the National League, okay? And they, gave you a tour of the plant, and they cut the ball open and showed you that it was the same and there was nothing different. Yeah, well, let me tell you something. In my humble opinion, and I have no proof, of course, but my humble opinion, the problem is it was a diversionary tactic. Mark McGwire, as well as the other baseball players, purchased their own personal baseball bats.
Interesting. And they could have been corked, for all we know.
I'm not saying that, but why would you buy? And Mark McGwire, for one, would purchase 100 baseball bats at a time. Now, I understand he's a very highly paid person, and that's another argument I have for this. But the problem is, why would he buy his own bats?
Yeah,
couldn't he use just a bat? I think there's a gentleman there that said something about today we use aluminum bats.
Oh, I was saying, aluminum bats have come along. Look, Bill, we have to take a break.
Sure.
When we come back, I've got more questions for you. Right now, we're talking with Bill Hinburn. I'm in the studio with Dan Matha. Bill Hinburn's website is superstrengthtraining.com. If you want to learn more about the old-style tactics of building real muscle, you can go there. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes
healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergent, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you. Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. If this show gets any point across, the point I want to get across is that we have athletes that have amazing genetic gifts and that work hard and are dedicated and squeeze every drop out of those genetic gifts. And don't immediately go to drugs, because I'm going to tell you something. Our Vice President Joe Biden, during the congressional witch hunt on baseball, sat up there and said he would have been a professional baseball player, but he wasn't willing to take the drugs. And I'm going to tell you something. There's people out there who are convinced that they could have been this and they could have been that had they taken the drugs. And I'm telling you, no. Because the drugs don't, you have to be, you have to have, you have to be driven enough to be a professional at whatever sport it is first before the drugs will do anything for you. You pointed out something interesting. Barry Bonds didn't start using till later in his career, but throughout his, before his quote unquote using period, he had already won 5 Golden Gloves.
Right.
So stop the nonsense now. Now, Bill, this is the question I really want to zero in on. Forget about the fact that what we know and what we don't know back in the 40s. If a guy like Bruce Randle was in the media today, doing the things he did, getting up to the body weights that he did get up to, don't you think people would immediately assume that he's using performance-enhancing drugs?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Without question. Anybody. And let's not limit this to bodybuilding or Olympic weightlifting or Olympic sports or even professional games. Understand something. Anybody that can outdo anybody in anything, they're looking for, they're constantly searching for, and they scrutinize, and they bring it into focus, and they want to bring it to everybody's attention that, well, he can do this, and the reason he can do this is because he has this clear-cut advantage that I don't. And I have to tell you, Carl, it's nothing but a cop-out.
Yes. Dan just said that during the break. He just said that same thing during the break.
Grimmick would say, I wouldn't, you know, and he talked just like the guy next door. He says, hell no, I wouldn't use this stuff. The guy up there, he would look at the bodybuilding and the big bloated bellies and stuff like that. He would say, well, that's nonsense. You see, Grimmick posed for, you know, it was a good choice to use this name, you know, in today's segment. He, in the late 20s, started lifting weights, okay? And his brother had a set of weights, and he happened to pick them up and started using them, okay? Well, there was no contest. The first contest, for all practical purposes, was in 1939-1940, okay? Those are the first contests that people entered, and they were all friends and trained together. It wasn't this cutthroat stuff like there is today. So he had 10 years he was lifting weights. And, of course, there was Olympic weightlifting, and, of course, he participated. But it's what everybody did. But most important thing is he posed for art students at art schools across the country. This was during the Great Depression. His home broke up. You know, his father died and what have you, and he was traveling the country and posing. So he already had 10 years under his belt of posing ability and being able to maintain a pose. You know, getting up on that stage, regardless of what the average individual thinks, that's extremely brutal work. Yeah. And their biggest fear up there, I'm going to tell you how bad it is, their biggest fear up there is to get a muscle cramp.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, they're under hot lights. You know, they're covered with oil, you know, to give you an idea that holds in the heat. If, and I'm not saying they all are, but if they are on performance enhancing drugs, what you have there is you have a great deal of muscle mass, and muscle mass is denser than fat. It holds heat, okay?
Right.
That's why when you ever see anybody, like on a talk show or anything, the Hulk Hogan or any of those guys, you know, wrestlers, big men, okay, they're constantly perspiring. Their body's trying to rid itself of the heat.
Right, right. Bill, we're coming to the end of this interview. I want to plug your website one more time. Bill Hinburn's website is superstrengthtraining.com. You can go there and learn all of the techniques of the fathers of the iron game. It's one of the untapped resources on our website. People like Randy Roach and Brooks Kubik all recognize Bill Hinburn's individual contribution to physical culture. Also, Randy Roach has sent me a link to an interview he just did on television. By the way, he sends his regards, Bill. An interview that he sent did on television about anabolic steroids in sports that I'm going to put in my blog immediately after today's show. It's just going to be the link to that, and I hope that you go watch it. What I want to thank Dan Matha for coming into the studio and talking about this honestly and openly. You'll see Dan soon on television as a wrestler, I predict, because that's where his career is going now. And of course, Anthony Roberts, you can follow on Twitter. His Twitter handle is Anthony Roberts. So check him out. He's the go-to guy about anabolic steroids by ESPN and everybody. They all interview him when they have questions about it. So check out these resources. And if nothing else, I want you to take this one thing away. We have amazing athletes today because more and more people who have the genetics for athleticism are getting into athletics. And so we're seeing a refinement of the people who join the sports. So it's natural that we see better athletes, stronger athletes, faster athletes. They're not all taking drugs. Don't immediately assume that they're taking drugs right from the get-go, because that's a horrible thing to do. It discredits them, and it's hurtful. So, and if you have not reached the levels of physical performance that you have always wanted, you've always desired, instead of pointing at somebody else and trying to detract from them, put a little more effort into your program, to your diet, to your quality of sleep, and so on, and use that energy positively to push yourself. There has never been a time since recorded history that man and woman have not tried to gain the edge in physical performance, going back to Greco-Roman times forward, as you heard from Anthony Roberts. So don't live under this illusion that there was something special about back then. You know what's special? We have a lot of advantages, as Bill pointed out a second ago. Things like air conditioning, we don't even think about it. That is why the athletes are better today. It's not all about drugs. The fathers of physical culture would have had the same results today had they had all the advantages we have today. And it's not all about anabolic steroids. All right, we have to take a break. Bill, thank you very much for being on the show.
Thank you kindly.
We have to take a commercial break, and when we come back, we've got more Superhuman Radio. Stay tuned.
Start again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
Do you have a federal student loan? Did you know that the federal government has allotted millions of dollars to reduce or forgive your student loan debt? Are you getting your share of these federal forgiveness program dollars? If you answer no, then you need to call 866-539-2755 right now. FedAidAdvisors.com will qualify you right over the phone for free. One free phone call and FedAidAdvisors.com guarantees to reduce your payments, eliminate interest for the first 3 years, and even wipe your loan debt clean for those who qualify. The call is free to find out if you qualify. Call 866-539-2755 right now. That's 866-539-2755.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest protein bar, now comes the Quest high protein potato chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to PRIMAL-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You, too, can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LivonLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
See, the thing about you that caught my eye is the same thing that makes me change my mind. Kinda
welcome back to Superhuman Radio.
But girl, I'll try.
Can a video game increase your child's vegetable intake? We're going to get the answer to that question right now. We're being joined by Dr. Debbie Thompson. How you doing, Dr. Thompson?
I'm doing great. How about you?
Good, good. So, you know, parents are always like, oh, my gosh, my kid's always on those video games. I've got to stop. What exactly were you looking to answer with this recent research?
Okay, well, that's kind of a complicated question, but I'll try to come up with a really succinct answer. Basically, what we were trying to figure out was whether we could create a video game that we developed in conjunction with kids and professional writers to actually promote or to actually create an environment that was fun but also promoted a healthy behavior like fruit and vegetable consumption. And we also were, and along with this, because of previous research with a similar game, we saw that goal setting was associated with behavior change. And so we were testing this really complex thing called implementation intentions, mm-hmm. which is just a fancy way of saying like a plan, whether or not if we added that to goal setting, it would actually help the children eat more fruit and vegetables each day.
How old are the children targeted for this?
Fourth and fifth graders, so about 9 to 11 year olds.
Okay, now modern child psychology says that children at that age have short attention spans. They can't goal set even if they want to because they just don't understand deferred gratification. What did you find out?
Well, you know, it's really interesting because we were using some really complex behavioral procedures in this video game, and so we convened an expert panel of fourth and fifth graders to actually help us develop the game. And what I really wanted to make sure was that, number one, they could understand what we were asking them to do with some of these procedures, and number two, that they could actually do what we were asking them to do. And so they really helped us get it right before we finished creating the video game. And they also did things like we had a professional writer that created the storyline, so they helped us make sure that the storyline that enveloped the video game was something that really appealed to children that age range.
Now, this is really a novel idea, a video game developed by children for children instead of developed by adults working at a video game company for children, which I'm being, you know, facetious here. It makes perfect sense. What was the theme of the game that of this particular game that you used for this test?
Okay, well, again, remember it was developed with children in mind, and so the writer was really, he was very talented, and he had experience working with children, and in addition to being a professional writer, he also was an actor and a director, and so basically he had a sense of what entertainment was all about, and so the game was actually set in a medieval kingdom, and the name of the kingdom was the Kingdom of Five-A-Lot, and they were under siege by their neighboring kingdom, which was called Mogland, and Mogland was basically inhabited by snakes and moles that were seeking to overthrow the kingdom by destroying the bountiful fruit and vegetable crops.
Ah, how brilliant. And it almost sounds a little bit like Harry Potter, some of those names, I mean. But so this is interesting. So it was actually, it sounds like it really was a fun game. It wasn't, because one of my concerns was, okay, we make, the kids that work on the game, they're invested in it to some degree. And so, sure, it's going to be great for them, but it's got to be fun so that kids who have not worked on it, don't have a direct investment in the outcome, will actually want to play it. But it sounds like they will want to play it. And what you've basically done is strategically given value to the fruits and vegetables the way you would give value to secret keys and mystical tools that are used in other video games.
Well, that's what we were really, I mean, you really have hit the nail on the head, because that's really what we were trying to do. Because basically, as far as the story goes, like the backstory, those kinds of things, the kingdom is under siege by snakes and moles who inhabit Mogland that are trying to overthrow the kingdom. And so the king and queen have dispatched all the knights to the far reaches of the kingdom to protect the borders. And they've kind of run out of knights and they need more. And so they issue a decree for brave young boys and girls to basically accept the challenge to become knights. And while they're in training, they're called squires, who basically are knights in training, and they have to learn the secret skills and knowledge of the knights. And it just so happens that sacred knowledge and skill really is associated with fruit and vegetable consumption.
I love it. So, okay, this is really nothing new, this concept, and I have to share a story of my childhood. When I was a young boy, and probably around these children's age, my mother would make a traditional Italian bitter green that's now becoming popular in the more upscale restaurants, called broccoli rabe or roccoli rabe.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. I hated it when I was a kid because it was so bitter. And I had a favorite wrestler. His name was Bruno Sammartino, and he was Italian. So my father used to tell me, when we would sit down at the table and I would push the broccoli rabe away, he would say, "You know how Bruno Sammartino got strong like that?" And I'd say, "No, how?" He ate a lot of broccoli rabe. And I used to eat it up, even though I didn't like it, because I believed it was going to impart strength upon me. So this is brilliant. So,
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, I was done. Good.
Well, you know, it's interesting because back to an earlier point you made. We did. You know, basically, if the kids who helped us like vet the parts of the game and like the characters, the storyline, the behavioral components. Of course, like you said, they would have a vested interest in the game. But just to give you a sense of how I think the game really resonated with the children who participated, we recruited 400 parent-child dyads to participate. The children played the game, and the parents got a parent component. And of the 400 children that we recruited, 91% played all 10 episodes of the video game.
Wow.
And each episode was about an hour long.
That's impressive, because if kids aren't engaged, they just stop and move away. So that tells me that the game in and of itself, the intrinsic value of the game, is that it was fun and engaging to these kids. But here's the real question, and I want to take a break and save this in the sense of good radio. Keep the suspense. How did that translate to their individual diets? That's the real question here. We're talking with Dr. Debbie Thompson. We're talking about, can a video game actually get your kids to eat more fruits and vegetables? And you're going to have to wait till after the break to find out. We'll be right back.
Break it right back just to know your name. 17.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Do you want freakish muscle gains? Freakmaker Build from AAEFX is a scientifically engineered post-workout formula that combines Frodolan, whey isolate, whey concentrate, milk isolate, casein and egg, quality protein sources with carbolin, prealkaline and medium-chain triglycerides, a 2-to-1 carb-to-protein ratio to optimize post-training recovery and repair. Freakmaker Build delivers 58 grams of fast-absorbing carbolin to replenish glycogen stores and 1.5 grams of prealkaline pH-buffered creatine monohydrate. Get Freakmaker Build today. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the AAEFX banner ad.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
The benefits of a ketogenic diet are immeasurable. Health, resist disease, mental function, and even performance. But getting into ketosis can take weeks, if even at all. Now you can get into ketosis in 10 minutes. KetoKana is the first ketone powder that has been clinically shown to switch you into a ketogenic state by providing a rush of ketones into the bloodstream. Like to train fasted or want to spare more muscle glycogen during workouts? Take a shot of Keto Kana and hit it hard. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Keto Kana banner ad today. New from the makers of Mass Pro Synthogen, Progenidrex is finally available to everyone. Refined for years in elite athletes, it's the absolute pinnacle of products specifically designed to accelerate drug-free muscle growth without hormones. Using Progenidrex as directed results in dramatic increases in muscle size, pumps, and recovery from heavy training, won't disrupt endocrine function, and no need to cycle off. Visit PredatorNutrition.com and Fusion Supplements for the absolute last word in non-hormonal anabolics, Progenidrex.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
For the best in real-world, no-nonsense, result-producing and effective strength training, muscle-building, and physical culture information, read Brooks Cubic's books and courses. Don't delay. Sprint on over to brookscubic.com and choose from more than a dozen of the best books and courses on the market. Brooks Cubic's training advice has been building strength, transforming physiques, and changing lives for more than 25 years. If you prefer ebooks, look for Brooks Cubic's best-selling courses at Amazon's Kindle bookstore. Show your support for Physical Culture Radio by going to brookscubic.com right now.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Debbie Thompson. A group enlisted a bunch of kids to produce a video game. The goal of the video game was to engage the children and make them see great value in fruits and vegetables. And as a result, the hope would be that this would convert over to their own diet of eating more fruits and vegetables. So clearly, 91% of the kids played the entire game. Great investment in time. This should have drilled home, so to speak, the value of fruits and vegetables. Did that convey over to an increase in fruit and vegetable consumption by the players?
Are you ready for me to answer?
Yes, please.
Okay,
if I had a drum roll, I would roll it right now.
I was going to say, where's the drum roll? I want the drum roll. Okay, well, remember earlier I told you that we were testing something called plans as part of goal setting?
Right.
And so we had a four-group design, and one group didn't create – they just set a goal. They didn't create plans. One group created something called action plans, which are the how they're going to achieve their goal, which is basically who, what, when, and where. And then we also tested a type of plan called coping plans, which is kind of like problem solving in advance. Like you identify a problem that may keep you from meeting your goal in advance and then decide – okay, well, if this happens, this is what I'm going to do. So it almost becomes like an automatic behavior. If you come across this problem, it doesn't stop you in your tracks. You basically say, oh, well, this is a problem. This is what I'm going to do about it. You don't really have to come up with a plan kind of on the spot. And then the fourth group created both types of plans as part of goal setting.
Mm-hmm.
And so here comes the drum roll.
Okay.
What we found was the group that created the action plans not only increased their fruit and vegetable consumption, but they maintained it 3 months after the game ended. Because I was very interested in finding out about maintenance of behavior change.
Yeah, yeah. Because otherwise it doesn't matter. If it's just acute, if it's just temporary, it's novel, but it's not going to really turn into anything important.
Exactly. You're not going to get the health effects of eating more fruit and vegetables. And so my real mission was to not only see if I could increase fruit and vegetable consumption, but could I maintain that fruit and vegetable consumption? And in the group that created action plans, we saw an increase and also a maintenance effect.
Okay, so can you make one of these for adults? Because the United States needs this program, actually. Because most people can't run their own household, so this would be really good. But, okay, so I'm just wondering if the increase in fruit and vegetable consumption displaced the consumption of other snacks and goodies and foods like that. That would be also interesting to find out.
You know, we have the data to look at that, but I haven't looked at those kinds of things yet because I have the same question. I want to see where there's shifts in, like, the food groups and basically the choices they were making.
Yeah, yeah, because, I mean, this is astonishing. I'll tell you why I say that. Two reasons. Number one, a host of video games could be produced to address good decision-making for children on a variety of horizons, including budgeting when they're adults, good choices about drug use, and avoidance of drugs. Even texting while driving could be integrated into these games to create values or diminish values on risky behavior and point it out to children in this fun way. But also, manufacturers of video games that are by and large just purely entertaining, and that's a subjective word, entertaining. How entertaining is Grand Theft Auto, you know? But I mean, this would mean that it is in fact influencing behavior. Because if you can influence behavior positively with a video game, the big argument has been from the video game manufacturers that I'm sure that you didn't look in, this was not your intent, but I see that there's an extrinsic value here. The video game manufacturers have been saying, hey, don't blame us for all the violence in school and kids, because it's not from the video games. But this would, in fact, make us take pause and go, wait a minute, maybe it is from the video games.
Well, I think that, it's really interesting because I was very encouraged by this. And the type of video game that we created is basically, it's a special type of genre that's kind of emerging as a promising way to help children basically engage in healthy behaviors, and it's called serious video games.
Oh, I
These
like
are
that.
Video games that are designed to entertain, which is what traditional video games do, as well as to change behavior. And in our case, it's health-related behavior. And to really create an effective game, you have to have a balance between the fun parts and the serious parts. Because if it's really fun, people will play it, but they're probably not going to change their behavior. On the other hand, if it's too serious, like if it's too heavy on that component, people probably aren't going to log on after the first visit. And so it's really, you've got to seek that balance. And that's why we work with creative people like professional writers, artists, just different people like that, to make sure that not only do we have the content that needs to be there, but that it's packaged in a fun way.
Will you be endeavoring to address other adolescent and pre-adolescent behaviors in video games to see if, I mean, fruits and vegetables, there's another issue here too. Children eat what their parents bring home. They have some modest effect on their parents' choices by complaining and crying and whining enough, and their parents will go out and buy something. But by and large, if a household doesn't have more fruits and vegetables, a child is not going to eat them. So I also see that the parents' role in this, as you pointed out earlier. But are there other behaviors that we can address besides just eating more fruits and vegetables that maybe wouldn't even require the parents to have access to or make available the targeted items?
Well, I think it really depends on the age group, because like with children the age that I was working with, the parents are the gatekeepers of the home environment, and we can teach kids all day long to eat more fruit and vegetables. They can set goals. We can teach them like the difference between fruit and vegetable and fruit and vegetable imposters, like things that pretend to be fruit and vegetable.
Oh, were those in the game? Did you have fruit and vegetable imposters too?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
we taught the kids basic knowledge like that. Like cherries would be a fruit. Cherry soda, not so much. That's an
imposter. Wait. I have to ask you a question, whether it's politically correct or not. Was pizza a vegetable? Because, you know, there's certain people on this planet that promote pizza as a vegetable.
Well, in our video game, pizza was not a vegetable.
Was it even a vegetable imposter?
No, we really didn't address
good
that. We
you.
Were addressing more traditional fruit
and
vegetable.
Good for you. Yeah, I know, because there's people out there who are saying that when you look at food groups, especially in school lunches, that's another area. This video game would be great for the people who set up the menus for school lunches, by the way. They should play this video game. But there are people out there who actually want to convince themselves that pizza is a vegetable because of the tomato sauce and the grain. So it's pretty scary. What were the targeted fruits and vegetables that you did include in the offerings in the video game?
Well, what we tried to do, like in the very first game, is like basically when they were setting up their game player profile, we presented them with a list of common fruits and vegetables, like in the American diet, that are real fruit and vegetables, not the imposters.
Right.
And then we had them choose their favorite 10 fruit and their favorite 10 vegetables. And to facilitate goal setting, we didn't tell them to eat apples or to eat oranges or bananas. But when it came time to set a goal, we presented them with their list of fruit or vegetables, whatever the focus was that episode, and then had them choose from their preferred list of fruit and vegetables. Because, again, it was not about promoting a specific food. It was about increasing their overall fruit and vegetable consumption.
Yeah, and you've got to choose from fruits and vegetables that they already like. You're not going to get a child who hates okra to eat okra just because okra has this special magic power in the video game.
Exactly. That was not our purpose. Our purpose was just to get them to eat more fruit and vegetables. And as they eat more, then, you know, they might start tasting different fruit and vegetables. They might feel differently about fruit and vegetables. But that was not the purpose of this video game. It was just to say, okay, these are the fruit that you like. These are the vegetables that you like. Now let's choose what you want from this list to help you meet your goal this episode.
Was Oprah? I'm good. I'm sorry. Good.
Oh, I was going to say, and one thing we always also did, too, that was very popular, in addition to having them set a goal with fruit, and like you know, basically fruit and vegetables, we also had them set a goal to make a fruit and vegetable recipe that was kid-appropriate, and we had taste-tested to make sure they tasted good, they looked good, and those kinds of things. And we encouraged the children. They watched little video clips of how to make the different fruit and vegetables. They selected one, and then we encouraged them to ask their mom or dad to help them prepare the recipe, and we taught things about food safety and all kinds of things like that. So, and we had an ulterior motive, because not only was this helping the child eat, like, you know, if you prepare it, you're probably going to try it, but also encouraging the basically parent involvement.
That's smart. Was okra one of the choices, by the way?
I don't remember. I don't have the list in front of me, but I don't believe it was.
I don't know why I can't. I mean, I love vegetables now. I mean, all sorts of vegetables. And when I cook, I work hard to use vegetables I've never had before. and find uses for them. But one of the vegetables that I just can't like, I've tried, it's just too slimy for me, is okra. And I think kids would probably hate it too. That's why I was curious.
Well, have you tried hiding it in soup or something like
yes,
that? Like making a minestrone
yes,
soup or something?
I had a friend of mine who used to make a fantastic oxtail soup. I like oxtail soup. But when she would put okra in it, I didn't like it because it almost felt like soup that was congealing from being old as opposed to being soupy. So yeah, I have had it in soup. It's just one of those things I can't get past. But listen, Dr. Thompson, I want to thank you so much. I know that this is kind of fun and tongue in cheek, but what you're working on is really important stuff here. And I see lots of different uses for it. It's very, very exciting. I hope that when you develop a new video game, to address another type of behavior in children, I would love for you to come back on the show and report on it.
Absolutely, I would love to. I've really enjoyed speaking with you. And also, thank you so much for your enthusiasm for this research. I absolutely, positively love what I do.
And it's much more important than people realize. If you can, you know, parents, as a parent, I can say that parents work very hard to try to get their children to make good choices in life in general. One of the hardest things that we compete with is everything outside of our domain of control, and that's our children's friends, and video games, the media, and so on. You're leveraging one of the potential enemies and making it an ally. That's amazing. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, bye-bye. All right, so stay tuned. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about vitamin D. Could vitamin D be the answer to osteoarthritis pain in obese individuals? You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
One-two punch for muscle growth is increased pump and increased intensity. Research shows metabolic changes occur that yield bigger, stronger muscles. Harness the power of agmatine plus carnosine beta-alanine to give your workout the intensity, pump, and metabolic changes that you'll not only feel but be able to see. Go to superhumanradio.com and use the coupon code SHR to get Prime Nutrition's Ultimate Stack and save 30% off. That's a savings of over $12. Get the most out of your next training session with Prime Nutrition's Nitric Oxide Plus Intensity Stack. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
At Superior Hardcore Peptides, we pride ourselves on accurately dosed, high-quality peptides and research chemicals made in the USA. With all the options out there, we dedicated ourselves to providing the best service and the best products for your research. Click the banner ad on superhumanradio.com today and use the discount code SHR and get 20% off our already competitive prices. If you're going to do research, do it with the best Superior Hardcore Peptides.
Imagine if there was an organic, raw, extra virgin olive oil made from one-of-a-kind olives found in Sicily. And wouldn't it be amazing if the producer cared so much about the quality that they tested every batch for the important things that should be present in olive oil? Well, now there is. It's Papa Vince. For a limited time, you can get two bottles of Papa Vince 100% imported from Italy, organic, raw, EVOO, for $39. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the link and call recommends. Taste and feel the difference. Papa Vince since 1935.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to Primal-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivered. delivery the way nature intended it.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Do you have a federal student loan? Did you know that the federal government has allotted millions of dollars to reduce or forgive your student loan debt? Are you getting your share of these federal forgiveness program dollars? If you answer no, then you need to call 866-539-2755 right now. FedAidAdvisors.com will qualify you right over the phone for free. One free phone call and FedAidAdvisors.com guarantees to reduce your payments, eliminate interest for the first 3 years, and even wipe your loan debt clean for those who qualify. The call is free to find out if you qualify. Call 866-539-2755 right now. That's 866-539-2755.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use Aura MD. Aura MD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good people will comment about it. Right now you can get a buy one, get one free of Aura MD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Aura MD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but Aura MD, and neither should you.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
DJ. Welcome back.
DJ Hero.
You know, we do a lot of shows about vitamin D because vitamin D is emerging as a very, very important hormone, nutraceutical, whatever you want to call it. And today we're going to be talking about, could vitamin D affect pain and movement in obese osteoarthritis patients? Because these are the individuals that really have the greatest challenge. If they're to become more mobile and more active, quite often they have to overcome their pain, and just the load bearing of generally their weight causes even greater problems for them. We're talking with Dr. Tony Glover. How are you doing, Dr. Glover?
I'm well. Thank you, Carl.
So let's start off with this. What questions were you attempting to answer when you endeavored this particular research?
Sure. So I'd like to start by saying this study was part of a larger study that focuses on ethnic and racial differences in osteoarthritis pain and function. And that study is called Understanding Pain and Limitations in Osteoarthritic Disease or Upload. And Dr. Phil and Jim, a distinguished professor at UF, is the principal investigator.
Okay.
I'd also like to thank our 300 participants who participated in our study and all the rest of the research team. So my dissertation, my doctoral dissertation work, was on the relationship between vitamin D level, pain, and health disparities in pain. And this research focused on the association between vitamin D status, obesity, self-reported pain using a very common questionnaire used in osteoarthritis research, the WOMAC, and a functional performance task, which involves standing, balancing, getting up and down from a chair, which is often painful for someone with osteoarthritis.
Right. So when you looked at, were these individuals supplementing at any point in time, or did you just look at their baseline and then look at their pain, then supplement, and then look again?
So some of our sample did supplement, and we actually controlled for that statistically. This sample, we had a total of 302 participants at the two research sites, our site at University of Florida and our sister site at University of Alabama at Birmingham. We had 256 people who had a vitamin D sample available. Sample was primarily about 63% female, which you would expect with an osteoarthritis condition, and over half the sample was Black or African American because, as I said, we were primarily looking at ethnic and racial differences in osteoarthritis pain and function. We recruited people who were 45 to 85. The average age was about 57. And then we collected blood to analyze vitamin D with the gold standard method, which is high-performance liquid chromatography.
And so, what were the ranges of 25-hydroxy that you saw in these individuals? What was the low? What was the high?
Oh, my goodness. So the low, we had some people who were down at levels of 4 nanograms per
mil. Oh, how sad.
Which is severe deficiency. We also had an outlier who was at, 70 nanograms per milliliter, which is certainly higher than what we usually saw. Our average for vitamin D level was deficient or insufficient. It was around 24, I believe, was what the average was.
Right.
But there was, of course, a big range. And as you know, because you've had several programs on vitamin D, there's not, the scientific community is not in full agreement about what the appropriate level of vitamin D is.
And in fact, I'm working with Dr. Chris Mastijohn over at Brooklyn College on a clinical trial for a supplement. And we're starting to learn that everybody has a different sweet spot for what really works good for them. And as far as 25-hydroxy levels go. And there are some things that may help us elucidate what that sweet spot is. It may be also looking at things like parathyroid hormone in conjunction with 25-hydroxy simultaneously. But with that being said, we also have to acknowledge that African Americans tend to be at the greatest risk of being deficient in vitamin D because through the evolutionary process, I'm dark skinned. I'm Southern Italian. I have to spend a long time in the sun to produce the same amount of vitamin D as a fair skinned Norwegian person would maybe spend 20 minutes in the sun. I have to spend 2 or 3 hours in the sun, and African Americans even more so. So they run the greatest risk of being deficient, don't they?
Yes, and that's exactly correct. And an excellent point is the melanin in dark skin kind of blocks the synthesis of vitamin D. So maybe stepping back one step is to say people think of vitamin D fortified in milk and in cereals, but actually the sources in food are quite limited. We get it from fish, we get it from eggs and from butter, but most of our absorption, most of how we get vitamin D is from exposure to sun. And as you said, for someone who has very dark skin, they may have to spend 4 to 8 amount of time in the sun to make the same amount of adequate vitamin D. So if I'm out in the sun and I can see my shadow and I have my arms and my legs exposed and I'm not wearing sunscreen, then I can make a fairly good amount of vitamin D in 20 minutes. But for someone who is darker skinned, then they need to spend 4 to 8 times as long. So like you said, that's up to 2.5 hours. And that's why we do see that Black African Americans have the lowest levels. And that was my original question of my doctoral dissertation, which does low vitamin D status contribute to worse osteoarthritis pain, because in our sample, which was almost equally divided between Black and white Americans, our Black participants were on average 5 years younger, but they had worse self-reports of pain and worse function related to their osteoarthritis and lower vitamin D levels.
That's very sad. I want to also ask you a question that I've never really asked before, and I don't know how it's gotten away from me, but most foods are fortified with D2. Does D2 successfully convert to 25-hydroxy?
It doesn't convert. It's a different kind. And the research, like D2 is in shiitake mushrooms, which is a very high source of vitamin D2. Most experts in the field recommend supplementing with D3, which is the cholecalciferol.
Right.
And so my recommendation to your listeners, if they're going to supplement, is to use the vitamin D3, which is an over-the-counter supplement, and it's pretty inexpensive.
One other thing I want to point out here, and then we're going to take a break and come back and discuss exactly what you learned about the level of pain and range of motion that was affected by supplementation. Obese individuals tend to have even a double whammy. If you're an African-American, a dark-skinned African-American, and you are also obese, the ability to absorb D3, even administered orally, tends to become even more troublesome, does it not?
Yes, it does. And so vitamin D is a fat-soluble hormone. A lot of people think vitamin, but it's actually a hormone, as you mentioned at the outset. And what we know is that it gets sequestered or kind of locked away in the fat cell, and then it's unavailable for use for the biological actions in the body. And is what some research has found is people lose weight, their vitamin D levels will actually normalize because the vitamin D then gets kind of freed from the cell and is able to have its biological actions.
Right. All right, here's what I want to do. I want to take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about the results of your research. We're talking right now with Dr. Tony Glover. We're talking about vitamin D. Can it affect pain in movement in obese osteoarthritis patients? Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Everyone knows the importance of optimal vitamin D levels for health. Every week, a new study is released showing the linkage to disease from low levels of vitamin D. But throughout evolution, we have never gotten the massive amounts of vitamin D in our diet that we get today. This is why oral vitamin D is associated with toxicity and the risk of calcification of organs. Vitamin D is naturally synthesized in the skin, but dermatologists tell us to stay out of the sun for fear of skin damage. Now you can take your vitamin D the way nature intended it with Primal D. Primal D delivers a topical dose of vitamin D into the skin where it belongs. Topically applied vitamin D does not carry the risks associated with oral vitamin D. And a single bottle of Primal D should last you a year. For less than 19 cents a day, you could be taking the world's best vitamin D supplement. Go to Primal-D.com to learn more. Oh, and you don't have to wait to run out of your current vitamin D to order Primal D. You can just throw it away because it just became obsolete. Primal-D.com. Vitamin D delivery the way nature intended it.
The health and performance benefits of phytonutrients are indisputable, but getting all of your phytonutrients from your diet is difficult. That's why Prime Nutrition introduced PhytoForm. PhytoForm has nearly 11 grams of all the micronized veggies, fruits, fiber, minerals, and antioxidants you need. Alfalfa, organic spirulina, and chlorella, plus acai, pomegranate, goji, bilberry, blueberry, raspberry, cranberry, and papaya. Cabbage, spinach, broccoli, beet, the list goes on and on. You won't find a better, more complete fruits and greens blend anywhere. It even includes PQQ, which has been shown to improve mitochondrial biogenesis. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Prime Nutrition banner ad today and use coupon code SHR to save 30% off. Prime Nutrition, the best or nothing.
In today's day and age, it's refreshing to find a company with values that match yours. And it's even more extraordinary when the products they make exceed your expectation in every way. That's what Michael's Naturopathic Programs has done for over 30 years. With more than 50 tried and truthful high-potency formulas, Michael's Naturopathic Programs give your body what it needs. No more guessing what herb or vitamin, amino acid, or mineral you need. With Michael's, it's all in one bottle. From cardiovascular support to weight management to nervous system support to detox and cleansing and more, Michael's Naturopathic Programs work. They have to. Michael himself has been giving it to his own family from the very start. You can find Michael's product at your local health food store or go to michaelshealth.com and get your tried and truthful formulation. That's michaelshealth.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at livonlabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing.
That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LivonLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's liveonlabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, labs.com.
Toothpaste is loaded with toxic chemicals. That's why I use AuraMD. AuraMD is a natural dental care product that is made from botanical oils that promotes healthy oral microbiome while destroying dangerous bacteria that lead to oral health problems. It does not contain fluoride, detergents, surfactants, or any other chemicals. Best of all, it leaves your breath smelling so good, people will comment about it. Right now, you can get a buy one, get one free of AuraMD by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the AuraMD banner ad. I won't ever use anything else but AuraMD, and neither should you.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. Don't hate us because we feel good.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking with Dr. Tony Glover about vitamin D's effects on pain and movement in obese osteoarthritis patients. So, Dr. Glover, tell us what happened. Did you then start supplementing, having these individuals supplement? How much did they take? Did you look at the serum levels of D, and what were the results?
So, good question. This was actually not an intervention study. This is a descriptive study, which just provides association between these variables, vitamin D, pain, and function. We had a sample of 256 participants. Nearly half the sample had a body mass index above 30, which denotes obesity. And as we expected, obesity was associated with lower vitamin D levels. Across the board, participants who had adequate vitamin D levels reported significantly less pain on that self-report questionnaire, regardless of their obesity status. Mm. What was probably most interesting is there was a significant interaction between obesity and vitamin D levels for the movement tests, such that obese individuals who had adequate vitamin D levels had better physical performance than obese participants who had deficient or insufficient vitamin D levels.
That's impressive. That really is. So, and would we see an opportunity to take a group of individuals, assess their baseline, assess their movement ranges and pain levels, and then have them supplement for a period of time and then go back and look if there's changes?
Exactly. That's like the next step for this type of research. I actually applied for research funding last year to do exactly what you mentioned, and unfortunately it did not get funded. And I think the research studies that are out there on supplementation have not given us a clear picture. There's some that have had positive findings. There's some that have had negative findings. So more research definitely needs to be done.
Okay, so here, I've been doing this radio show for, in November it'll be 10 years. And I've been approached by people over the years saying, hey, let us produce a line of supplements for you. You know, we can exploit your audience. And I've stayed away from it. And I said a long time ago that I would never ever put my name on a supplement or be involved in a supplement unless I really believed it provided something extraordinary to a particular area of research and supplementation. And so last year I introduced my first supplement. It's a topical vitamin D supplement. You may have heard it advertised during the break. And I'm not making a shameless pimp job for my supplement here, but let me share with you some of my thoughts as I endeavored to produce this supplement. I was laying on the beach in Mexico one day, and I thought to myself, we've never gotten vitamin D in our diet. We've always gotten it from the sun, but today we're sun phobic, and there's all these reasons people don't have the opportunity to stay in the sun, or they don't want to stay in the sun, or whatever the case may be. And so people are taking 5, 10, 15, 20,000 IUs of vitamin D orally. And a lot of the research done on vitamin D is derived from epidemiological studies of what we've learned about people who live in climates where they're exposed to a lot of sun. They don't have heart disease. They don't have the cancer rate. They don't have the diabetes rate. We say, oh, it's the vitamin D, which it may or may not be. It could be the activity level as well of those people that extrinsically they're developing more vitamin D as a result of. But that's not the discussion here. The discussion is then we attempt to do studies. So what do? We give them an injection, an intramuscular injection of vitamin D, or we give them a vitamin D pill to take every day. And some of the research comes back in the favor of what we're looking for, and some of it's conflicting. And I've said this time and time again. I even said it to Dr. Michael Hollick. Is it possible that the reason that we see conflicting results in vitamin D research is because our bodies are designed to get vitamin D through our skin? And the analogy I give is if you were in an exercise physiology lab at the University of Connecticut and you wanted to test VO2 max and reproduce someone else's research, but instead of putting the mask on the person's nose and mouth, you put it on their forehead. You're not going to see any results because they don't breathe through their forehead.
Right. I completely agree with you. There are some vitamin D creams that are used specifically for folks with psoriasis, which is a skin condition that helps. The other thing that your comment makes me think of is some of the studies that have tested vitamin D supplementation use these very high doses. And that's not the usual way we get it either. Our bodies make it. It makes enough, and it recycles what we don't use.
Right.
But when we make these, when we give people these extremely high doses, then, you know, the body has to get rid of it. So the one thing I would, you know, encourage your listeners to do is to have their level checked, because especially if they have any chronic health condition like pain or osteoarthritis or diabetes, is to have their level checked with their primary care provider. It's a fairly simple blood test that they can have done, and the lab is the 25-hydroxy-D. And then based on their level and their body type, then they can decide on supplementation. Now, several experts say almost everyone is low, 70% of whites and almost 95% of Black Americans are considered have inadequate levels of vitamin D. And so some will say supplement with 1 or 2,000 IUs a day for 2 or 3 months and then go to your doctor or healthcare provider and have your level checked. But in terms of vitamin D, more is not always better,
right?
Because it is a fat-soluble vitamin. And actually, when the first research came out in the 1930s about vitamin D and osteoarthritis, people were taking exorbitant amounts, like 300,000 units a day. And it is possible to have toxicity, and, you know,
the cells in the liver start to burst when you try to store. And that's a really important point that you said. Vitamin D taken through the skin actually has a negative feedback loop, so the body can protect itself from an overabsorption, if you will. It's recycled. Some of it is the sun actually will deteriorate the vitamin D that's not used over a period of time. But when you take it orally, you're saying to your body, I don't care what you like. You're going to take this and put it somewhere. And when you take high levels of vitamin D for too long, it can actually cause hepatic cells to start to burst. And this phenomenon we've talked about on the show a few years ago, it can kill you. It can destroy your liver forever. That's it.
Right. So I think it's prudent for people to get their levels checked and then make a decision about supplementation or sun exposure based on what their level is.
Yeah. Yeah. So what do you hope clinicians take away from your current research?
You know, I've heard people come to me and say, when they find out my research area, Carl, that they say, well, I went to my physician and he or she wouldn't check my vitamin D level. And that always surprises me because, you know, we have so many things checked in our labs when we go to the doctor, our cholesterol or our liver function. And it just surprises me that they wouldn't be willing to check it. The American Geriatric Society recommends for older adults that older adults keep their level above 30. So I would hope that clinicians would be willing to listen to their patients when they would like to get their level checked and go ahead and check the lab. It's not that complicated.
And what about the actual end user, the patient? What do you hope lay people take away from this research? I've got an idea, but I want to hear your words.
Yeah, I think that we don't do enough research on vitamin D and vitamins in general. I was listening to another of your programs on the vitamin C, and our recommended dietary allowances are based on the prevention of actual disease. So we know if you don't have enough vitamin D, you can get osteomalacia or rickets. If you don't have enough vitamin C, you can get scurvy. If you don't have the B vitamins, you can get beriberi or pellagra. So those recommendations came into effect to prevent actual disease states caused by a nutritional deficiency. But that doesn't mean that that is the amount that is for optimal health. And I think we need more research on all the nutraceuticals to find out what is the optimal level for human health and healthy aging.
I think the other thing that end users should consider is this, lay people. If your doctor does say, you know, you don't need your vitamin D levels checked, and you don't feel like getting into a confrontation with your physician, there are dozens of labs out there now that will do 25-hydroxy testing using a non-invasive finger prick. ZRT labs. I mean, ZRT comes to mind, but there's LEF, Life Extension Foundation, has a 25-hydroxy test. It looks like a book of matches. It's called a Wattman blotter. You prick your finger with a lancet. You drip 6 drops of blood on it. You seal it up. You put it back in the envelope. You send it off so that you can know yourself. If you understand, like the good doctor is saying, that being above 30 nanograms is really a good place to be, you're smart enough to know. Check your blood yourself if your physician doesn't want it. And then if you're really, really low, go to your physician and tell him you're really low in 25-hydroxy. What should you do? Maybe he'll give you one of those big 50,000 IU green tablets, or supplement on your own and then retest. This is not something that you're a hostage. Oh my God, my D levels may be low, but my doctor won't check. Sometimes you have to be the steward of your own health, especially today, because your doctor may want to check it, but he knows that he's going to get slapped on his hand by the insurance company for doing it. So that's my message, because I think, like you said, too much D is no good and too little D is no good. But the right amount of D can be very, very good for you, and it's your responsibility at the end of the day to know. And if your doctor doesn't want to test, you have to do it yourself then. That's it. What do you think about that?
I agree. I agree completely. And our research on this area and on osteoarthritis is continuing. We're entering our second phase of the upload study now, so we're continuing to look at all these questions related to osteoarthritis pain and function, vitamin D, some fatty acid research on omega-3s and all sorts of good things.
I want to thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you so much, Carl.
Take care. All right, so there you have it. Another show is finished. I want to thank all my guests today. We'll start off with, of course, Dan Matha for coming into the studio, Anthony Roberts, and Bill Hinburn for the first hour. Dr. Debbie Thompson for her research on a video game that can actually get your kids to eat more fruits and vegetables. I think that's fantastic. It does open the question about the influence of video games, by the way. It really does. And then, of course, just now, Dr. Tony Glover for talking about her research. Bill Hinburn's website is superstrengthtraining.com. Check my blog later for a link to Randy Roach's recent TV interview about anabolic steroids. And follow Anthony Roberts on Twitter. His Twitter handle is Anthony Roberts. Check him out. And tomorrow we have Casual Friday. We'll see you then, and thank you for listening today.
There are a few products that I believe